Case number 9630, Singular Wireless, Western Road 365, north of Road 84, a special use exception to erect a telecommunication tower.
William Panic, 240 North Talbot Court, Roswell, Georgia.
Tom Zolna, 200 North Warner Road, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
Is this my name is Paul Jankovic.
No, wait a minute.
Sorry.
You're for, not you yet. They'll call for you. He's not partisan or he's
absolutely
opposition or.
Okay.
Mark Rubin, that's M-A-R-K, R-U-B-I-N, RF Engineer, Singular Wireless, 200 North Warner Road, King of Prussia, PA, 19406.
I swear the testimony you're about to give to be sure and correct the best of your knowledge.
I do.
They'll call for you. Good evening.
Good evening, ma'am.
How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
My name is Pam Scott. I'm here on behalf of Singular Wireless in connection with an application for a 150-foot tall telecommunications monopole, which would be located on property on Road 365, just north of its intersection with Road 84 and just south of Ocean View. Singular is an FCC licensed provider of telecommunications services, licensed throughout Delaware, Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia. The reason we're here this evening is because in this particular area of Sussex County, we are experiencing a gap in our coverage and have been unable to find a suitable location to co-locate, and therefore needed to look for a rowland site where we could actually erect a monopole. The property that we're here about this evening is zoned AR1. It's about 13 acres in size, and it is currently used for agricultural purposes, growing soybeans. In connection with this application, we do meet all the requirements of Article 25, Section 194.2 of the Sussex County Code. As part of that, the monopole will be set back at least one-third the height of the tower, as is required by your regulations. At this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Zolna to come forward. Do you state your name for the record, please?
Tom Zolna.
And by whom are you employed?
By Singular Wireless.
And what is it that you do for Singular Wireless?
I'm their real estate project manager.
So it's your responsibility when Singular has a gap in coverage to find a location where Singular could build facilities to cover that gap, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And in this particular area, I have some photographs. Are these representative of the site that we're talking about?
Yes, they are.
I described the site as an agricultural site. Is that appropriate?
Yes, it's used for agriculture.
And as the board gets the photographs, the first two photographs on the first page show a stand of trees in the area. What is this representing in terms of the tower?
Well, the tower will be back towards the trees. It'll be pretty far away from the road, and it'll be kind of blocked by the trees when you're looking from the opposite direction.
And do you have some sense as to what the height of these trees is, generally speaking?
I would guesstimate that they're in the neighborhood of 60 feet.
And you indicated that the monopole will be some distance from the roadway. Is it safe to indicate to the board then that it would not be any kind of a visual obstruction to traffic on the road?
No, we tried to place the monopole as far back on the property as we could so that we would minimize its impact from the road.
What about the possibility of, rather than building a new tower, finding a significantly tall structure or other tower that you could co-locate on? Was there anything in the area that you were looking?
I drove a considerable distance in all directions and couldn't find anything suitable that would work for Singular's purposes.
Thank you very much. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Zona?
So there's just not any structure to mount it on, not necessarily none available by other providers?
In that area?
No towers, no water tanks, no tall buildings, no sir.
Thank you.
So I've got a question. Did you pick the site out for the tower?
Yes, I did.
Is it going to be behind the trees?
No, it'll be
in front of the trees.
In front of the trees, yes.
They own that whole partial?
Yes, they do.
You can't put it behind those trees, so it'll be more out of the way?
The trees are kind of the boundary of the property.
Okay.
So I can't really put it behind
the trees. That's not that property then?
No.
That's the boundary line between the landowner and the other landowner.
Correct.
Around the trees. Yes. How about in the back? Does it go back to the back of it?
We placed it as far back as we could. One of the things we don't like to do is cut down trees unnecessarily. And in this case, we felt we were far enough back on the property.
How far are you back?
You said it was a 13-acre piece?
Yes.
Yes.
You're pretty close to the road then.
Yeah. We are approximately 158 feet back from the road.
And which could go back farther on that farm, 13-acre piece.
I think if you look, I don't know if you have a copy of the plan we submitted with the...
Is that it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
There's an area right to the rear of this tower that shows existing woods, and it shows the limits of those woods. Can you see that on there? It'd be helpful.
Is this what you mean? Existing woods? This is all woods here then?
Yes.
All this?
Yes.
Okay. This is not 13 acres clear then, you talked about?
No.
Right. It's all is right here and back to here. Okay. Right.
Okay.
So your plan is to be 158 feet from the road?
158 feet from the road, yes, sir.
That'd be backing up against that wood line.
Back against the woods, yes.
Correct.
I think you had it. Did you have it flagged back here? There's flags back here?
The site surveyed.
We had the site surveyed. There may be flags there. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
My name is William Panic.
And you are the site engineer for this site, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
We talked a little bit about the plan in terms of Mr. Zolna's testimony, but perhaps you could lay out in a little bit more detail the site, the setbacks that we're maintaining, and the monopole that we're going to erect there.
It's going to be a 150-foot monopole. It'll be lighted to meet Sussex County requirements every 50 feet. It'll be at 50, 100, and 150 feet. It'll be designed to accommodate additional carriers. As Tom mentioned earlier, there is no other structure in that area, so if there's other carriers that want to co-locate on the structure after it's built, they'll be able to do that. It's designed to meet all local and state building codes and in conformance with the American National Standard Institute and telecommunications industry standards. It also conform with all FAA and FCC. Also, Singular will have an equipment shelter with equipment cabinets on it. It'll be unmanned facility. The shelter will be 12 by 20. It'll be a fenced-in compound with barbed wire at the top. It'll be 8 foot high. And it's going to be 60 by 60. And there'll be an access road, as you can see on the plan, 12 foot wide for access to it. And the tower, as I mentioned, will be lighted, and all the equipment in the tower will be grounded.
What are the FAA lighting requirements for a tower this size?
The FAA requirements are typically, depending on where the airport is, typically it's 200 feet, but Sussex County has requirements that to be lit every 50 feet.
How does that affect the FAA's requirements or what have you? I mean, is there, do they, are they, the FAA's opposed or?
If, no, if the.
The county, would be more stringent.
Yeah, and the FAA would require, depending upon your vicinity, location to an airport, if you're under 200 feet, they don't have any specific lighting requirements. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Tom?
Could I just add, if you don't mind, the FAA does not require this tower to be lit because it's not near an airport. What we do when a county such as Sussex requires a tower to be lit, we use what's called the FAA voluntary lighting guidelines to light the tower. So we're in compliance with those voluntary lighting guidelines in addition to Sussex County requirements.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, good evening. My name is Mark Rubin, R-U-B-I-N.
And by whom are you employed?
I'm employed by Singular Wireless.
And what is it that you do for Singular?
I'm a radio frequency design engineer. Basically, I identify areas in Singular Wireless's wireless network that are lacking in reliable service, and we figure out the best way to alleviate that area of unreliable service, either by hopefully making some modifications to surrounding sites in hope of solving the problem, or in this instance, identifying an area that needs to be solved by building a new facility like we're proposing here this evening. Although building a new facility is usually the last option that we look at, we try, of course, to co-locate on existing structures wherever and whenever possible. And that could be anything from a smokestack to a water tank, tall building, whatever, anything to get our antennas up in the air. But regrettably, when we are unable to find an existing tall structure in the area that we need for our purposes, then we have to look to build a new structure.
And we have a site here that, as Tom indicated, there aren't any tall structures in the area. You identified that we have a gap in our coverage, and that in order to fill that gap, we need to be located in a certain area. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Why don't you describe what it is that your map shows for the board?
You want to label this exhibit just A1, I guess? We don't have any
other
exhibits?
That would be fine, yeah.
Okay. Exhibit A1, first and foremost, is simply a map of the general area. I've labeled a few roads on here. Double Bridges Road, Route 26 to the west, as well as actually all the roads I've got labeled. In any event, you'll also notice some pie-shaped symbols in red. These are designating where Singular Wireless has wireless communication facilities that are operational today. And then the next important aspect to Exhibit A1 is the blue shading. The blue shading depicts the reliable service that's provided by the existing cell sites that we have in the area today. That's significant because the white area is the unreliable service. Reliable service simply means that there's a high probability you'll be able to make and receive calls if you're in that area, and the white is simply the antithesis of that high probability that you won't be able to make and receive calls if you're a Singular Wireless subscriber. So what we're proposing this evening is building a new monopole 150 feet above ground level at the location depicted on Exhibit A1. And what we're trying to do is fill in that gap of unreliable service, and it's quite a significant gap of unreliable service because along, I think that's Bayard Road that winds down here to the south and southwest, you can see that we have approximately a 2-mile gap of unreliable service. That's quite significant. So if you are driving through this area on Bayard Road or if you live in that area, or if you're operating a business and you're a singular wireless subscriber, there's a high probability that you won't be able to make and receive phone calls in that area. So with the proposed facility that we have this evening, and that you'll see in a subsequent slide, we can solve that problem.
And your next exhibit then shows what?
So this, I guess, which we could label Exhibit A2. This is exactly as Exhibit A1 with one very important difference, and that is you'll notice very prominently in the middle shown is the proposed facility at 150 feet and what our wireless network would look like if we activated and indeed built the proposed facility this evening at 150 feet. And I've shaded in green just so you can see the new coverage that would be provided from that cell site. And you can see that it very dramatically and very successfully fills in that gap of unreliable service along Bayard Road and along all the other roads in the immediate area. It provides adequate overlap with the existing coverage from the existing sites, and that's very important so that you can have a seamless handoff as you drive through the area. As you drive through any area that we have in our network, you make what's called handoffs as you drive from one cell site to the next. You need to have an adequate amount of overlap in between the existing sites so that you can drive and hand off seamlessly from one cell site to the next with your call being uninterrupted. So with the proposed facility at 150 feet at the location that we've discussed, we have that adequate overlap and we have a seamless network.
Now you have a certain technology, or Singular has a certain technology that they use that enables them to make this determination?
Yes, we have a sophisticated software that predicts the coverage that one would expect from these facilities. We corroborate it through real-world drive testing, where we collect data in a relatively sophisticated car outfitted with equipment, and then we can pump that data back into our computer model, and we can verify its accuracy. And that's what we've done here. We use a model primarily because the most sophisticated drive equipment in the world obviously is virtually limited to just driving the roadways. It can't predict, or it can't measure, I would say, coverage off the road, because obviously you'd be entering private property and you can't, drive through everyone's backyard. So as a result, we take drive data that's collected on the road, feed it back into the model, and then that way we're able to show predicted coverage over a wide area, not just the roadways.
And basically your Exhibit A2 then shows that with this pole erected and in place with the antennas that you've adequately covered the gap in service. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Any questions for Mr. Rubin? I had one other question for you. We did have a report prepared in connection with this site, and that it meets the health standards of the federal requirements. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And can you just give the board a summary of what the findings were?
Sure. This is a report that was generated by an independent third party, the DBM Engineering, Andrew Peterson, who's a licensed engineer in the state of Delaware. And basically the findings, and there's lots of technical information in here that I'm sure most people find pretty boring. But in any event, what it says is the FCC adopted from the IEEE standards for maximum permissible exposure from these types of facilities. And what it says is that at a given distance from these cell sites, the power drops off with the square of the distance, meaning it drops off exponentially very rapidly. While the closest distance you can be to the antenna is right underneath of it, if you were standing next to the tower, the energy comes out of the antenna outwardly like a flashlight. It isn't directed down primarily. So the amount of exposure is very low. Well, as you walk away from the cell tower, you would then be more in its main beam. But the good news there is, of course, you're walking away from the cell tower. And as I said, it falls off of the square of the distance, so it falls off quite rapidly. The bottom line is that the report says that not only is the Singular Wireless's cell site at this facility at 150 feet safe per FCC guidelines, but in fact you could mount hundreds of this type of facility, which if structurally you couldn't do, you know, so realistically it's not possible, but theoretically you could have, you know, 300 or 400 Singular Wirelesses all at this facility, all transmitting simultaneously, and the composite of that would still be below the FCC minimum guidelines for maximum permissible exposure. So in that way, it is extremely safe and very low power.
Okay. Tom, I just had one more question for you. One of the things that I know that you look into for sites is the number of cellular calls that come in through the 911 system. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And it has it been, from your reviewing the statistics that are provided by the state, has it been your finding that the number of calls that come through on cell phones continue to rise in this area of the county?
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, I pulled the latest statistics, and it looks like for June, 57% of the 911 calls came from cellular telephones. For July, it was down a little bit. It was 51, but almost 52%. So it's definitely over 50% of the 911 phone calls come from cell phones.
The other thing is I want to submit the board. We have petitions in support of this application. Is that correct?
Yes, we do.
82 signatures, I believe. Is that correct?
In support, yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Just to conclude, as we indicated, we have a gap in our coverage area. Singular is providing a service in this area that residents do want. I think you can see that from the petitions that we submitted. It's also a service that continues to be something that people in the emergency management fields use and rely on more and more. Therefore, I would submit to the board, and also we meet the requirements of your ordinance in terms of the height of the tower, in terms of the setback, in terms of providing sufficient structural strength to have additional carriers go on our cell tower. So having said that, I would ask that the board approve this application as we meet the requirements of the code. Thank you.
Okay. Here, any further questions from members of the board?
No, sir.
Gotcha. Mr. Mills? Okay, being no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Two
in the back?
Two
in favor? Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Sir, would you like to come up and be sworn in, please?
Mr. Chairman, I have a petition with 40 names.
Four against.
40.
40 against the petition?
Yeah.
40 against. Thank you.
My name is Paul Jankovic, Route 2, Box 182A, Frankfurt. I have the property directly across from the proposed site.
Okay. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give the true and correct testimony?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you hearing the minority today. I first wanted to also submit some other names of petition. These are 60 names of people who are opposed.
How many, sir?
60.
In addition to the
40.
40 already?
Or is there?
Is it 60 total?
That would be. These
okay.
are 60 new.
Oh, 60 new. Okay.
Right. And I wanted to make a statement, if I could. And I beg you for your patience with this, but you know, this is a very interesting situation, and all the people that signed the 100 or so people that signed. They're strongly opposed to the installation of the 150-foot telecommunications tower on Road 365 north of Road 84. Once again, the local landowners and residents have expressed a concern over the issue of safety for the proposed Singular tower. We respect the fact that Singular was rejected the first time, and they've come back to ask for another request for a special use exception. But all the people in the area are somewhat puzzled about Singular's new proposed location. Singular's requested location is just a couple hundred feet away from the other location and on a piece of property that is far less safe than the original site. In reality, this piece of property, because of owner neglect, is similar to a toxic waste site. The area near the site was a market that sold Getty gasoline. The type of tanks used at that time were steel tanks that are prone to corrosion and leakage. I'm surprised the safety report did not uncover that. Erecting a tower that attracts lightning is simply too unsafe for those who live nearby. It appears that almost all the nearby groundwater is contaminated with gasoline and gasoline byproducts. When lightning strikes the tower, there is a very real danger of localized fire. If stray lightning hits the area near the tanks, there is a very real danger of an explosion. Again, we are puzzled by the choice of location. We believe this location is less safe than the one before. For those who live by, this is insult to injury. Our water is already contaminated by leakage from the corroded gas tanks, and a lightning strike could set off a chain reaction. In addition, there are other factors involved. We have concerns of the scenic quality of our area, an economic burden of decreased property values, as well as the problems of existing site pollution, and of course the unknown problem of low-level microwave radiation that sickens children in our local residential area. The site of the tower is directly in front and off the side of homes where small children reside. No matter what is said, it is commonly accepted that it's unhealthy for small children to be in the direct field of the type of signals radiated from the proposed tower. We continue to be puzzled why Singular would choose this location on property contaminated by gasoline next to homes with young children. With all the open property in Sussex County, why choose a location with so many negatives associated with it? A structure such as this tower should only be allowed in or near commercial or industrial areas and not in the midst of a neighborhood setting or in a developing community, since it gives an overwhelming sense of danger and uneasiness to homeowners and their family members. The height of the tower, we all feel, is excessive. It's equivalent to a 15-story office building or about five telephone poles stacked on top of each other. The trees near the location are between 40 and 60 feet tall. That means the tower with its flashing lights will loom 90 to 110 feet above the tree. Hence, the tower can be seen from all directions, from every main road. When we go out to get our mail, we will see it. Visitors to our home will see it before they reach the front door. Furthermore, the unsightliness of the ugly tower is a major drawback that will cause a serious negative impact on our property values. Our area is becoming a prime natural growth and development area outside the town of Ocean View. The tower would affect the ultimate success of any proposed new projects that are considering coming to the area. New homeowners would not likely be to buy homes in our area with an ugly communications tower. It is of interest that the Verizon customers who signed the petition claim to have no reception problems in the area. Singular customers have poor reception, yet they signed this petition because they do not want the tower in their backyard. Some of the Singular customers also said they got a good deal from Singular. But is it really a good deal if Singular sold them a service that they knew at the time they could not provide, and now argue that is it requires a tower in our area to support its customers' needs? This is self-serving and raises the question that if Verizon's reception is good, why can't Singular rent space or equipment on the Verizon tower that already services our area? Thank you for your patience. What I'd like to do also is submit to you a copy of the little store. Let me show you this. This is a little store where the underground tanks are that deteriorated. Now, obviously, it was a Getty station. The only way I can prove that from looking at it right now is there is a pole right here. It used to have a wonderful Getty sign on it. Okay, this was Americana at its best. However, because of the neglect of the people that own the property, the same folks that own the property that are going to be trying to locate their Singular tower on, we've had leakages. When we had to install a new system, the guy said, you know, this water smells like turpentine. And I said, it may not be turpentine. It wasn't turpentine. It was gasoline. So that's our tale of woe. I also have some other statements. Are you willing to listen to those? Okay. I'd like to read some brief statements, and then I have backed this up with the research. Again, I don't want to belabor it, and I realize that we're outgunned and outnumbered here tonight, and I apologize for that. I can only tell you that the people who signed our petition do not want the Singular tower there. They feel just as adamant about the folks that maybe signed it, not so much, of course, but the name of the game is they are adamant about it. The lateness of the date, sometimes, unfortunately, they have kids that have to go to school, and so I'm accepting the burden of all that. I want to bring out a point, and I'll give this to you, is that an additive in gasoline called MTBE, it was mixed in as a part of a way of extending the use and efficiency of gasoline. It was used in areas where the air pollution was less of a problem. It showed that 6 years ago that this chemical was a potential carcinogen, and that they realized in trying to clean the air, they have seriously damaged the water supply. Not to belabor it, but I wish to submit this also. Again, I beg your patience. Thank you for hearing me out. Another article. In some cases such as these, where there are problems, monitoring wells are used for monitoring groundwater contamination, as we're experiencing. In the early 80s, it was discovered that a lot of underground fuel tanks were leaking their contents into the ground. The EPA concluded in a study of tanks, which found that 80% of all underground fuel storage tanks in the U.S. were made from unprotected bare steel. This means they were subject to corrosion just from being in the ground. The study concluded that almost all the leaks are a result of the tanks being corroded. Again, this is just the highlights of an article, which I'd like to submit to you. Again, beg your patience. Another article I'm just quoting the highlights of. Many old leaking underground storage tanks that used to hold gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil have slowly corroded and released their contents into the soil and groundwater. Nationwide, tens of thousands of older tank systems have leaked as rust took its toll on the tanks and dispensing lines. Even smaller leaks have caused significant groundwater contamination. Many small leaks were undetected for years. It only takes a little gasoline in water to make it undrinkable. Larger quantities seeping into the wells or basements can cause explosions. I repeat, it only takes a little gasoline in water to make it undrinkable. Larger quantities seeping into wells or basements can cause explosions.
Mr. Jankovic, assuming the accuracy of everything you're saying, how does that affect the board's consideration of a cellular tower?
It affects it because of the fact that I'm getting to that, unfortunately, about the fact that, may I read one more article, and I thank you for your patience, okay? And this is from a manufacturing company that does work for the communication industry, suggesting that lightning strikes and grounding issues aren't totally understood, even by telecom engineers. A gentleman cited an example of a cell building that was destroyed after a nearby tower was hit by lightning. He attributed to ground potential rise, a phenomenon that kills people and animals without directly hitting it. Duckworth contends, the author, that the telecom equipment is not protected the way it should be, and national codes provide little in the way of guidance. Point is that if we have groundwater contamination, possible explosion, lightning strikes towers, one out of one chance. For us, maybe one out of 60 or 70,000, okay? So the towers get struck. In our area, we happen to have a very bad situation with buried underground tanks. And these things, after 20 years, they are still creating a problem. And that is data which I also have here. I have a number of articles to submit to you. Again, I apologize for taking your time, but I feel it's necessary to protect our interest. I live there. They have family, small children live there. And somebody has to stand up for them, no matter what the health considerations have proven from other parties.
Sir, have you had any facts yet of lightning striking a tower and blowing something up yet?
Only there is in the one was right there.
But the
problem.
I mean, that many times they've been hit. How many times have they had explosions?
I would have to go back in the literature and check it out. I've been checking the literature, doing the research on it to make sure that I had my facts straight. And that's why I'm making a statement and giving you a document on which they are based rather than just, you know, shooting off. But I can't give you a specific number. But the fact is that this is an unusual situation where you have buried tanks. You have gasoline in the surrounding groundwater, and you have the possibility, distinct possibility, of it being hit by lightning. The towers do get hit by lightning.
How do you know that? I mean, why should the board just accept you telling them?
You don't
telling them that.
Do not accept what I say. If you would please read the information I'm trying to pass by. My fault, unfortunately, is the fact that I should have made multiple copies. I didn't know I was going to be able to present, and I'm just happy that I'm able to talk with you and try to explain to you. Your point is certainly well taken.
Yes,
but what I'm trying to do is give you some background, and I apologize.
I mean, you're saying that one tower, but how about a television tower? I mean, it's grounded going through the same way. Been doing the same thing.
If there were gas tanks there, old critter gas tanks, sure. But on most places, you're not going to find old corroded gas tanks. You're not going to find groundwater contamination. Why choose a site like this? It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. I'm just pretty dumb. But that's
One misconception that you may have is that you suggested that these towers can be put in other areas like industrial areas and what have you. And perhaps these folks from Singular could show their map of the necessary coverage, if you would.
I'm familiar with their coverage. I've studied that, and I understand their approach, and I understand their problem, but the point is that they sold the service, okay, knowing, and while we're talking about this, I want to submit this to you.
I'm just going back to your comment about, you know, they could be located in a different area. And according to their coverage, it needs to be requested.
You know, there's got to be some other place within the immediate area that is off the beaten track a little bit. You know, come on, guys. Get creative. I'm astounded that they would choose a site like this. That's all.
Sir, I got one other question to ask you. If they move that back to the other place, would you have any trouble with that?
I just think it's groundwater.
I mean, you got groundwater down there. Would you have any problem with it being there than where it's at now?
I think it's just simply an unwise choice on their part for that parcel of land. Okay, no matter where they put it.
Is your opinion a professional opinion or just a personal opinion?
My opinion represents the people that have signed that petition, okay, and the people who have been kind enough to send their information in, okay? Only as a researcher, as a person that taught marketing research, and taught research classes at Salisbury University. I've taught marketing as well as the research classes for 16 years. I taught at Wesley College for 6 years, University of Maryland Eastern Shore for 6 years. I'm trying to do the best kind of research I can. This is not my field. But somebody's got to stand for those kids. Okay, honestly, I'm not trying to be emotional, but look, a bunch of little kids running around. They don't need microwave. I mean, I think, and I'd be happy to submit all the other stuff I have.
Sir, do you have a report that deals with the safety of the emissions? Because if you don't, the board can't even consider that argument.
Did you hear what she just said about the microwaves? I mean, it's no effect, really, because it's going out and not.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, there's just as much documentation on the other side.
Do you have it?
I have it right here.
You have a report similar to the one that Singular prepared and submitted, because under federal law, if you don't, the board cannot consider
okay,
that.
Okay, I appreciate that. What I've done is the kind of research that I do for clients to try to get an idea. All I can do is submit to you the information that I have found that relates to health issues, okay? And these are articles from authoritative sources, and there are just as many articles about the problems that associated with microwave transmissions as there are in favor of that doesn't do any harm at all. May I submit these?
Sure.
Okay. This is just one quick quotation. It says, this is a Dr. Fagan from Cleveland, Ohio. It says, I recommend prudent avoidance of microwave and RF exposure, especially with children as receivers. I strongly urge you to consider possible health effects of RF exposure in the planes of construction of towers to receive and transmit RF and microwaves. These towers should be located as to minimize exposures to people in schools, homes, apartments, offices, and factories. And I have other material. Again, it's not the kind of study that you may require, but we have done the research. We're not taking it lightly. We're not defaming anything that they have to say. We appreciate the fact that they are giving you the material that you need to make a decision on. But we feel compelled to submit these because we have other people involved besides myself. I also, again, apologize for keeping you guys. I'm sorry. If I ever walk in here again, I'm sure you'll throw the gavel at me. But complaints about Singular are somewhat widespread, okay? And I'll quote and again hand this over. Many Singular customers feels that they are misled by the claims of many sales reps from Singular. They are frustrated by the ironclad contracts or the claims of sales reps about the extent of Singular's coverage. Again, more material for your information. Again, not the technical data that you may be seeking, and I apologize for that, but I would like to bring that up. The last time, I'll get out of your hair, I apologize. The last time Singular was turned down for the application down the road, now, again, I still don't understand why they're picking the site, but it's their call. I also want to submit statements from people who were involved in the other application where they were turned down. Okay, these are quotations from them, and instead of reading them, maybe just one. Bill Gaines was sworn in and testified in opposition to the application and stated that he is a real estate agent. That the proposed tower may affect property values, that people move into this area because it is a country setting, that the tower may cause health issues and create a visual obstruction. I have seven such statements that I'd like to submit. And then I will sit down, and again, I apologize for the fact that I have not been able to give you all the material that you seek, but we simply haven't had that much time to prepare as well. A lot of people that were interested were not able to get the notice. So in any event, I appreciate your interest. Thank you for your patience. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I counted 77 names. There were a few pages that were duplicate.
77?
Yes, 77 names. Yes.
Oh.
Against.
Oh. 77 against and 82 in favor. Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, could I have the opportunity to respond to what you're
saying? Sure.
Maybe make sure there's nobody else in opposition.
Oh, is anyone else here in opposition? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hearing no other opposition? Okay, now you may go ahead.
Thank you,
Mr. Burrow.
Okay. Again, to identify myself for the record, I'm Pam Scott. I'm here on behalf of Singular Wireless. First, I'd like to say that I think the information that you received from this gentleman is irrelevant. And without having any of these people here for you to question, I asked how you can even begin to rely on any of the information that was provided to you. I'd also like to have another witness sworn in. This is actually the property owner, so that we can comment about what we've heard is the terrible condition of the property. Would you like to come forward now?
Ruth Ann Evans, 34570 Evans Road, Frankfort, Delaware.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give to be true and correct?
I do.
You're the you and your husband own the property where Singular would like to put the tower, is that correct?
We do.
And how long have you owned it?
It's been in litigation in the state, but my husband has owned the property where the tower is to go ever since his mother died. It was deeded to him after her death, and that's been I didn't know I was going to have to talk, so I didn't get my deed. So she's been dead probably 20 years.
Okay.
But what I'm here to say, when he brought up about the tanks in the ground,
yes,
and the gasoline leakage, now we've just bought that and didn't buy it until after the tanks had been removed from the ground and Denrec had approved that there was no leakage. Now, he said there was leakage, and that's not true.
So before you acquired the parcel where the gas station used to be located?
We had the tanks removed.
You had the tanks removed.
Because we weren't going to buy it if there was the leakage, and there wasn't, and the report came through.
And Denrec signed off and said that everything was clean.
They did.
Okay. Thank you.
Just wanted to make sure we cleared that up for the record. Thank
okay.
you. In addition to that, I think you've heard a lot of, I don't even know what information was submitted, but a lot of information was submitted that this was going to be a terrible safety problem. Lightning strikes were going to create fires, et cetera, et cetera. The people I have with me that work for Singular, as long as they've worked for Singular, and some have been in excess of 10 years, they've never heard of a situation where there's been a lightning strike that's resulted in an explosion in the area. As you know, all of our towers are grounded, so if lightning does strike it, there aren't subsequent problems as a result of that. So I'm not sure what this gentleman was talking about, but it's certainly not anything that we've ever encountered in our years of doing this kind of work. I heard that the height of the tower is excessive. I've also heard, why are we just going down the street to find another location? Well, obviously we need to be in this area. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep looking for a location to put a tower or find a place to put our antennas. Yes, we did look at another site, and yes, the board did turn that down. But we still have a gap in our coverage in this area, which means that we still need to find a location to put a tower so that we can cover that gap in service. And this was another location that fit our needs. And we think fits our needs successfully, and we believe that we're meeting all the requirements of the code in terms of putting the tower there. I guess it's easy to hear from people that, you know, we don't want the tower, another not in my backyard concern. But I think if you look at the case law in Delaware, and I'll cite one case specifically, which I'm sure Mr. Burrell is familiar with, it's Beatty versus Newcastle County Board of Adjustment. Superior Court case decided in 2000. The court essentially says that you have to have more, you have to show more than that you just don't want it in your backyard and that you think it might have an adverse impact on property values. And you haven't been given any additional information or evidence to show that. So I submit that what you heard from this gentleman is simply not sufficient for you to deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that, sir, I'm not going to just, I'm going to give you just 2 minutes then, and I'll go back and forth then. Okay, because we've.
I'm just asking the board to get a copy of what was said about the tanks being removed.
Okay.
Because I don't believe that they were. We have no proof of that. If those, if that exists, then I owe you an apology, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
But for the people that have lived there, many years, they were not removed according to the people that I had talked to, and myself and others have lived there for many years. That's all I ask, and I will leave you alone. And I thank you for your patience.
Okay, sir. Okay. All right, now I'll have the board to.
Lighting, this white strobe lights be put on that, that you put on your towers?
Well, the FAA voluntary lighting calls for a red light.
Yeah, I got that here, yeah. I see a lot of them got the white, seems like the white light on the daytime, you can see it anytime, the white strobe.
White strobe better.
Yeah, and we had Casey the other day talking about the lighting, the white. I noticed since they brought that up,
in the middle of the day, sunlight, and you can see a waste strobe anytime. I don't know if that you're putting that on your towers or not. I got that right here.
See that?
It's 150 foot. Mm-hmm. The red FFA style.
Is that better?
Huh?
You mean the red, the white?
The white would be better. I know.
Oh, yeah.
That guy from the other week was saying you couldn't see him. He's wrong.
They were these old time trucks, just white on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Say white. Well, I thought we had much before.
No, county code. County calls for red lighting.
Red lighting at
50 feet.
Mm-hmm. I thought we went before for discussion. I know that.
After being in council, we talked about the strobe, but
that's forthcoming. Yep, that is forthcoming.
But.
Should be. I mean, from far as from safety side, the way his weight is better than the red. You can see it better.
It's just that going by the FAA lighting, the tower in that neighborhood of 150 feet would have an L864 flashing beacon at the top. And
all 810
obstruction lights.
That's what I got on here, too.
50 feet, yes.
We got that right up here.
Yeah.
It's typically, we try to follow FAA guidelines just so everything in the country is uniform.
Okay.
White lights are typically used for taller towers. And so if a pilot's flying and sees a white light, he thinks the tower is taller than if he sees a red light.
I still notice that a lot of towers got it like 75 feet, 100 feet, still got the strobe back there and starting going up with it. Most towers like that.
Irrigation systems now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, that's fine. Alrighty, hearing no further questions and opposition, Chair will entertain a motion.
Chairman, I make a motion we take case number 9630 under advisement.
Okay. Have a second to that motion? I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we take case number 9630 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, use your voting sign.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Okay, we'll go back then and get the cases we